Now turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I love Easter. Man, I tell you what, it is the day that the church house is full. And it's the day that we celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reminds me of the little boy that was in the lady in school, asked her kids there, said, "Can you tell me the story of Easter?" One little girl raised her hand and said, "I can." It was the day that they all got together and they celebrated by eating turkey and everybody came. She said, "No, that's not the story of Easter." She said, "Oh," another little boy raised his hand and said, "I know it. It's the day in December that we give gifts and things like that and Santa Claus coming." She said, "No, that's not the Easter story." Finally, a little girl raised her hand and said, "I can tell you. We celebrate Easter because it's about a man who died on a cross. They put him in a tomb, and on the third day, he rose again." The teacher says, "Praise God, we got..." And now he come out, saw his shadow, and he's back in the hole six more weeks. Can anybody tell me the story of Easter? Praise God, it's a great time, isn't it? It's a time that we can just celebrate because he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus Christ lives today. Hebrews 7, verse 25. One verse. "Therefore he is also able to save. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Christ lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's how I know he lives. May 25th, 1975, I sit where you sit. I heard a preacher tell me about Jesus Christ. I grew up in church. I was come from a very religious family. My father was the song director. I was a piano player. And we went to church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. But for 21 years in that church, I never knew Jesus Christ. Until May 25th, 1975, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life one day when the preacher gave the invitation. And from that day on, I had a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was not a name on a church roll. It was not going to church and being religious. Not any of those things, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, if you ask me where I will spend eternity, I will spend eternity in heaven. Not for what I've done, but because of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find the whole message of Easter. He is a living and he is a saving Lord. You see, Jesus Christ as the living Savior and the saving Savior. The angels announced his birth. They said, "Thou shalt call his name" what? "Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sin." Matthew 18:11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those which are lost." Now notice with me in this passage of Scripture, if you have your Bible with you this morning, that Jesus Christ is the living and the saving one. He's the living and the saving one. First of all, I want you to notice that he has the ability to save. The Bible simply says here, therefore, he is also what? Able. Jesus Christ is able to save. Man, he's able to save, it says, to the uttermost. Jesus Christ is able to save. He has the ability to save. His ability is to save is declared simply in that he has the innate power in his life to achieve whatsoever he desires and wills in his life. We noticed on the film, many people were healed by Jesus Christ. No one's ever been able to do that. No one will ever be able to do that. Jesus Christ was able to resurrect from the dead. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And the Bible says he is able. Praise God. He wants to save this morning. He wants to save you this morning. If you're here and you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants to save you. He said, my will is to save all that are lost. He came to seek you this morning. And I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, he's touching your heart at this time. Listen, I was a hell-bound sinner at one time. I grew up in church, but I was on my way to a devil's hell because I didn't know Jesus Christ. But he saved me. Some of you, like I was, a church member, had your name on the roll. You might even be a church member here. Last Sunday we saw a lady that realized that she was lost. She was a member of this church, but she came to a personal saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ, and she come for salvation. Some are blinded today by religion. We're religious people in the South here. That's the reason so many people come on Easter Sunday morning. We are religious people, but we are religious people going to a place called hell. But God is able. God is able to save. When I look at the Bible, I see that God can save at any time. In Acts 2, we read that 3,000 souls were saved at the third hour. That's about 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of you don't realize that there has been a 9 o'clock in the morning. But there is. There's a 9 o'clock in the morning, and Jesus Christ is able to save. Paul was saved at midday on the road. The thief was on the cross. Somewhere between 12 and 3, he was there. Nicodemus was saved at nighttime, and the Philippian jailer was saved at midnight. So God is able to save any time. There is no time that God cannot save. He can save you this morning right here. Some people say, why do you have church at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock? Well, God is just in the saving business at 10 o'clock as he is at 11 to 12. God can save any time. In Mark 2:14, he saved Levi at the tax office. Not only can God save anywhere, he can save any time, he can save anywhere. Now, at the tax office, we're very unlikely to get saved. I think most of us are mad. We're mad at God, we're mad at the devil, we're mad all over at tax time. But you know what? He saved Levi at the tax office. He saved Paul, I said a while ago, in the middle of the road. The Samaritan woman was at a well. She had four husbands and one on the way. Reminds me of the little lady that was in a nursing home. She came into a man's room and said, you know, you remind me of my 10th husband. He said, ma'am, how many times have you been married? 9. Well, some of y'all will catch that in a few moments. He saved the jailer in the jailhouse. You see, God can save anywhere. Even the thief on the cross, about to die, came to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your paradise? And he said, yes. Today you shall be with me. You see, God is able to save, folks. Anytime, anywhere. Matter of fact, he can save anyone. I've heard people say all my life, well, preacher, I know God saved you, but I don't know about me. You just don't know what I've done. Well, let me tell you something. Rahab was a harlot. And Rahab is in heaven today because she came to Jesus Christ. I know she was over in the Old Testament, but she had faith that Jesus was coming, and she was looking forward to the cross. Mary Magdalene, she saved. A moral man named Nathaniel, Jesus Christ saved. A religious man named Nicodemus, Jesus Christ saved. A rich man, Zacchaeus, we heard Wednesday night before, he was saved. Poor man, lame Lazarus, was saved. A fisherman named Peter was saved. A doctor was saved named Luke. A government official was saved. The Ethiopian eunuch was saved there. And a thief was saved. God can save anyone here today. You're no big case for God. A God that can create the heavens and the stars and speak it into being can save you. Not only can He save you, He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to come into His heart. Oh, whoever you are, whatever you've done, He is able. He is able to save, that passage of Scripture. Not only that, His ability to save is defined. He is able to save, it says, to the uttermost. To the uttermost is a Greek word that means complete. It simply means when Jesus saves a person, He saves that person for all eternity. Folks, when He saved me on May 25th, 1975, I didn't know hardly anything. I grew up in church, as I've already said, but I didn't know the Bible. I was not a Bible scholar. But I knew one thing. When Jesus Christ saved me, it wasn't me who did the saving. It was Jesus. And He says, I will not lose one person that I've saved. No man shall be able to pluck you out of my Father's hand. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life that day. I have eternal life with Jesus Christ, and I want to live for Jesus Christ. He says He gives eternal life, and that is eternal. He said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, that's exactly what you've heard through this choir. I was wondering why should I get up here and preach a while ago. I said, man, if you didn't get saved through that, even I got saved through that. It'll catch up with you someday. But you know what? If you didn't hear the message of salvation through the songs, oh, what a Savior we have. Friends, He is able, and He saves. He says, you who heareth my word and believeth on Him shall have everlasting life. Now that believes, a lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but that's not what it's saying. When you hear that you're lost, then you know that you're lost to the power of the Holy Spirit. You hear His words, and that word convicts you that you're lost. And you put your faith, that's what it talks about when you believe. You give your life, you're headed towards hell, and you turn your life around and start toward Jesus Christ. You give Him your whole life, you shall have everlasting life. When Jesus saved me, He saved me, the Bible says, to the uttermost. In the book of life, my name is written there. Now, we can be sure of His ability to save. He can save anyone, anytime, anywhere. But also, He has accessibility to save. He is able to save, the Bible says, those who come to God by Him. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way this morning that you can have eternal life unless you come by faith in Jesus Christ. Not coming to church, not being of a certain family. It's simply coming to Jesus Christ. Simply by faith, trusting Him for what He's done for you. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain. He's the one that washes it white as snow. All of those who come by Him. Anytime, anywhere, anyone. But how do we approach a holy God? How do we come to God? Well, we know in our minds, we know in our heart, we know through the Word of God that He can save. Amen? The Bible says that. Now, we've established the fact that He can save us. Well, the Bible also says if we'll come to Him, He will save us. Charlotte Elliott wrote the hymn that will be sung all across this nation today. Charlotte Elliott was an invalid at 33. She was mad at the world. She cursed God. She didn't like anything, anyone. She blamed God. She said, if God was a loving God, Why did he make me like this? She was bitter at her family. She was bitter at the whole world. Upon a day, the pastor came by her house to have dinner with the family. And right in the middle of dinner, she went into one of her outbursts, cursing God and cursing the minister and cursing the family and everything. It embarrassed her father and mother so bad, they got up and left the room and left that minister sitting there. He looked at her and says, "You know why you're so mad?" And she says, "Why?" He says, "You're tired of yourself. You're literally tired of who you are." And he says, "You know how to change that?" And she said, "No, but I..." And she broke down and started crying. She said, "I would like to. I would like to change." And he said to her, he said, "Charlotte, the only way you can change is to give your life to Jesus Christ. It will not change your circumstance, but it will change your heart. It will change your mind." You see, repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind. And she said, "Well, preacher, how do I change?" And he said this, he said, "You simply pray and say, 'Oh God.'" And she prayed, "Oh God, here I am, just as I am, would you change me?" And God came into her life and changed Charlotte Elliott. And I think it was about 12 years later, she wrote the song, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." You see, God will change you. He has the ability to change you. He's accessible to you today. Are you tired of yourself? Are you tired of the way you're living your life? You see, we all get tired of that, don't we? We get tired of the way life is. The Bible says life is tough. I'm talking about suffering tonight. Why Christians suffer. If you'd like to know, I'd like to share that with you tonight. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been mad at God for something. You've been holding on to your anger and your hate. And you just got nothing left but anger and hate. Would you simply come to God and say, "Lord, just as I am, without one plea, here's my life. All broken, all angry." You see, God knows how angry you are. God knows how bitter you are. God knows how hurt you are. But He wants you to agree with Him that you need Him in your life. I thought I had it all at 21. I thought I had everything. But there's a void in my life, a void that religion couldn't fill, a void that people couldn't fill. Only God can fill that void. Some of you are saying, "Well, I need to get some things straightened out before I come, preacher." Well, let me tell you something. The devil will make sure that you never get your things straightened out. Because as long as you say, "I've got some things to get straightened out," you're not coming just as you are. You see, you're trying to straighten your life out. You can't do it. The devil will make sure you never get things in an order so you can get saved. And upon a day, you'll die with that bitterness, that emptiness in your life, and then it'll be too late. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near." He is near today. You know how I know? Because the Holy Spirit's been moving in this place. Even from the very first song to the very last song, the Holy Spirit has touched your life. Some of you were sitting there with your jaws dropped. He died for you. He died for you. That's how we approach Him, just as you are. Then our acceptance. 7:25 says, through Him, all who come through Him. We must not only come to Him, we must accept our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Savior of our life. For 26 years now, I've been able to stand in this pulpit and preach Easter Sunday morning. 26 glorious Easters. But you know what? I was sitting there thinking, I've never preached an Easter message like this. I've never preached an Easter message like this. And we celebrate Easter today because of Christ's resurrection. But let's go back 3 days and remember, He died for you, and He died for me. The only reason He came was to save you and me. Isn't that wonderful news? He died that you and I might come to Him and be saved. And you know what? We get so busy with our everyday life that we just pass Him by, you know, and just don't even think about Him. We don't think about Him. We're so busy running through our daily lives that we've got everything in gear that we fail to think about His death for you and I. We fail to give Him our lives. But I tell you what, if you would pause every day and just stop and thank God for the breath that you have, for the life that you have, you could be today in a hospital, you could be in a wheelchair, you could be dead by this evening. But He died to save you. And all that He asks is that we come to Him and accept Him as our Lord and Savior and live for Him. His ability, His accessibility, and then He has the authority to save. Seeing He ever liveth, He ever liveth, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know what? He's praying for you right now. Isn't that amazing? That God in heaven ever lives making intercession. You know what that means? He's praying for you. He so loved you and I that He gave His Son and He rose from the grave and He's sitting by the Father's right hand and He's saying, come on, come on. All of you who will just call upon Me today, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Do you know why He has the ability to save? Because He not only died, He arose. If He would have died on the cross and they'd have buried Him in that tomb and He hadn't arose from that grave, He'd have been just like me and you, another man. Praise God, He lives. They ran there and the angel said, Mary, who are you seeking? He is not here. He's risen. He ever lives. And that is a settled truth. There's some people today that don't believe that He died and rose again. Heard a man one time discussing this passage of Scripture, and he didn't get a whole lot of attention. He said, well, Christ, they say, might have fainted upon that cross. And His disciples went to that tomb with Him and nursed Him back to health, and He never was dead. One preacher mentioned that, and a man stood up and said, let me tell you something. Let me beat you 39 stripes across the back. Let me tie you up to a pole and whip you to your intestines almost falling out. Let me nail you to a tree and leave you in the hot sun for 6 hours. And let me take a spear and run it through your heart till blood and water comes out. And then let me embalm you and put you in a tomb for 3 days and see if you come back to life. You see, don't listen to what the modern day people tell you. Christ died for you, and he rose for you, and he ever liveth for you. The angel said, Mary, he's not here, for he is risen. That is a settled fact. It's a settled truth. Not only is it a settled truth in 1 Corinthians 15:14, Jesus rose, is alive, and the Bible says, according to the Scripture, our sins are forgiven. According to the Scripture, Jesus is a living and saving Savior. You see, the resurrection is a saving message. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. But the question comes not about me, not about Jesus. Jesus has done everything he can for you. The question is, have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Now, I'm going to give you a verse or two of invitation. And this way we need to do it. If you've never invited Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't think, well, it's Easter Sunday morning, the crowd's big, I don't think I'll come. Like I said, you may die tonight or today, and you'll spend an eternity lost. But the choice is yours, you see. God's not going to force you to accept the facts. He's not going to force you to accept the truth that he is the living and saving Savior. He wants you to love him and simply come to him by faith, saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I am tired of the way I'm living. And if you'll come to him, he'll change you. Let me tell you something. He changed me, and I know he'll change you. I've seen person after person come to Jesus, and he's changed them. Anyone, anytime, anywhere. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you need to call on him, you come. Coming to me doesn't save you. You're coming down here to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one that saves you. Would you come this morning? Some of you church members. Oh, you've been to church all your life, just like I have. But you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you need to have that today. You can come and just say, Preacher, I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. And you'll get saved. Amen. It'll change your membership. Instead of coming maybe once or twice a year, you'll come every Sunday. That's the way it did me that way. You see, I'm not the same old person I used to be. Man, I don't come up here because I have to. I come up here because I love to. Amen. I love Jesus. You love Jesus? Amen. Well, tell your face about it. Amen. Yeah, like brother down here says, you're not smiling. You need to show somebody you love Jesus. Would you come this morning? Maybe you're looking for a church home and you've got your membership somewhere else. Would you come this morning? I'll be glad to tell you how you can join this fellowship. Fellowship, man, it's a great fellowship. It's a loving church. There's plenty of places for you to serve. Maybe more places to serve than there are to sit right now. But you know, the Lord's going to bless this church, and we've got a new building to build out there to seat 1,200. Praise God. Come on, join in his family, and we'll get it built a lot quicker. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today that you are a loving, living Savior. Heavenly Father, may we just give you our lives today, wholly and completely, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.